A sign in a convenience store read, "Check cashing policy. To err is human, to forgive is $35. That's kind of a funny way to recognize the fact that we as people make mistakes. We do. There's probably not a person in here who hasn't bounced a check at one time or another. Maybe several times. I know some people that think it's a basketball and they try to bounce them all the way to the bank. But it's also evidence of the way many people think about the subject of forgiveness. When we think about forgiveness, we sometimes maybe don't think about it in the proper perspective. But when we get down to it, Jesus shed his blood for forgiveness, not for his, but for ours. I sometimes wish forgiveness was a more beautiful sounding word, because it's one of the most beautiful concepts in Scripture. To have Jesus say to you, "I forgive you." That's what we're after. Some congregations, some Christians, sometimes do not have forgiving spirits. And it may be out of malice. I pray not. And it may be out of a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is. Forgiveness does not mean that we condone someone's actions. Jesus prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them." Did that mean Jesus approved of being crucified? From a human perspective, we know that he was destined for the cross. When we forgive somebody of something they've done wrong to us, it doesn't mean that we say, "Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you can go ahead and keep doing that to me." I could walk down there and start poking Josh in the forehead. And he says, "Stop doing that." And I say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you don't like that." "No, I don't like it. Please forgive me." But that doesn't mean I can still keep poking him in the forehead. But he's not going to hold it against me. Maybe. If he forgives me. He won't forget that I stood down there and poked him in the forehead. But he'll treat me as though it never happened. Never bring it up again. He'll bury the hatchet and the handle. A lot of times when people forgive, they leave the handle sticking out when they bury the hatchet. They want to leave a handle so they can get to it easy in case they need to bring it up again. "I'm mad with you. Do you remember that time you called me XYZ? Do you remember that time you walked out of the building and didn't shake my hand?" That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness, in the context of that Brother Mark read for us in Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." Maybe you don't know the circumstances why somebody is doing something. Forgiving one another. What's our example for forgiving? Even as Christ, or even as God rather, for Christ's sake, hath, past tense, he's writing to Christians, forgiven you. And that word there for forgiveness is charizomai. And the The root word is charis, grace. Be gracing one another. Be graceful to one another. You know, Jesus, when he taught that we were not to cause stumbling. We are not to put stumbling blocks in front of younger Christians especially, but Christians in general. I heard a preacher say one time that was to keep young people from stumbling, not to give an old codger the right for grumbling. Forgiveness is a gracious act. It's a commanded act. So four things I want to look at this morning about forgiveness. First of all, we have to know what it means to forgive. And most of the time in Scripture, in the New Testament, when we see the word forgive, it's a Greek word, aphiemi. And it has several shades of meaning. It means to send away, to let be, to let alone, to cancel a debt. When we forgive, we treat that one like we did before whatever happened. We don't, every time we see the person, oh, I remember what they did. Oh, I forgive him. How many of us has ever had that kind of an attitude? I may be a Christian, but stop. You're a Christian, period. We have to act like Christians. We have to be tender-hearted one towards another, willing to forgive. To forgive, listen to this carefully, is to accept within yourself the consequences of the sins of others. Let me read that again. To forgive is to accept within yourself the consequence of the sins of others. Somebody else acted, somebody else sinned, and it affected you, but you accept the consequences of somebody else's sin. Justly or unjustly, that is what it means to forgive. I'm going to forgive this person. I'm going to act as though I have forgotten about it. It's a done deal. It's over and past. It's all good. The colloquial phrase of the day. It's all good. It means to accept the pain, the problems, and the burden that comes when someone sins against you. Forgiveness, one preacher said, is neither easy or frequent. Is he right? It's not easy sometimes. And I wonder how frequent it really is. The Old Testament view of God's forgiveness in Micah 7 verse 19, prophet writes, "He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." That is the degree of God's forgiveness. When God forgives us, the prophet writes that he casts all their sins into the depths of the seas. In other words, they are buried, they are out of sight, and they will not resurface. That's the depth of forgiveness you and I need to aspire to. And I know I ended this sentence with a preposition. I don't care. I want you to listen to me. Look at the psalm, the 103rd psalm, verses 8 through 12. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide or strive, neither will he keep his anger forever. So that means God does get angry with us. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. How do I know that? Because we're alive. The wages of sin is death. So God has not given us the full measure of what you and I deserve. Because the first time we sinned, we deserved the death penalty. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's the depth of God's forgiveness. And that's Old Testament. People say, well, God was a severe and vengeful and vindictive God in the Old Testament. Did that sound vengeful and vindictive? No, it sounded very gracious to me. So that's forgiveness defined. Let's look at it described. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, Paul, or if Paul be the writer, quotes from Jeremiah 31 when he says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities," get this, "I will remember no more." Now understand that. God doesn't forget something. If he could forget something, he wouldn't be God. But he acts towards us. He behaves towards us as if he has forgotten. I used this illustration once before, maybe twice, I don't know. I don't count them. But I was watching one of those talking head shows on television. And there was a woman on there who had been attacked, assaulted, and raped by a man. And they were both on the stage together. And he apologized to her. He seemed very contrite. And she forgave him. Do you think she's ever going to forget being raped? But she can still forgive him. My mind is fading on this, but I am quite certain at the end of the program they embraced, they hugged in tears. I don't know what church she belonged to, but that was a great, great example. That's forgiveness. And that's the way God treats us when we have sinned and plead for forgiveness. That's what forgiveness is. Secondly, why should we forgive? Because Mama said it was a nice thing? No. It's not a mere social grace. It's a command from Almighty God. We must put on an attitude of forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:13. It's an attitude of forgiveness. Hopefully, the moment somebody does something wrong to us, we have an attitude, I'm going to forgive them. That's probably not the case. It's probably not the first thing on our mind. But that's a goal we can work to. Doesn't mean we don't confront the other person and explain to them their sin. Now, if they just hurt your feelings, that's subjective. But if somebody sins against you, you have an obligation to tell them their sin. Give them the opportunity to repent, but you maintain that forgiving spirit all along. In Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "And when ye stand praying, forgive." Notice he didn't say, "If you stand praying," he says, "When." "If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." You see, we want forgiveness, but we must be forgiving. That's why we are to forgive. Because for us to forgive, it emulates the conduct of the God of heaven and of our Lord Jesus Christ and the writings of the Holy Spirit. Christ came to earth to save sinners, to forgive us. We cannot go to heaven without the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2:38. Jesus shed his blood, the blood of the New Testament, for the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28. Those are not in your outline, but you can pencil them in. Forgiveness is what it's about. And a Christian who will not forgive, or is reluctant even to forgive, is that modeling the behavior of your Savior? I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. Thirdly, we must know when to forgive. If somebody sins against me, I have to forgive them. Do I have to wait until they come to me repenting? What if I die before they come and I get a chance to forgive them in person? What if I die? Am I going to go to heaven because somebody didn't come to me and repent so I could forgive them? No. I was talking about earlier. It has to be that attitude of forgiveness. Somebody did me wrong. I'm going to forgive them. In my mind, I have already forgiven them. I gave a guy on the phone a hard time one time. He was a customer service representative, and I know people never give them folks a hard time. But I gave this fellow a hard time on the phone. I did. They dropped the ball. They were being very inefficient. They were being very inconsiderate. And old John let them have it. Next day, I called the store and asked to speak to the fellow. Told him my name. I said, "Do you remember me?" "Oh, yeah," he said. I said, "I'm sorry for my conduct. And I want you to forgive me." You know what he said to me? "I already have." Didn't know the guy at all. And when he said that to me, it just felt like a weight had been lifted off of my chest. That's just one of the billions of examples of the beauty of forgiveness. When do we forgive? Jesus said in Luke 17:3, "Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him." Forgive when it happens. We're ready to pull out the six shooter and blast. We need to be ready to pull out that attitude of forgiveness. Be quick on the draw with forgiveness. You'll never be wrong. You'll never do wrong by forgiving somebody. Again, doesn't mean you condone their action. Doesn't it mean you approve or enjoy their action. It means that you forgive them. You're not going to hold it against them. Well, how often then do I forgive? I forgave him once and he did it again. That's it. Write him off. It's not what Jesus said. Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Peter, now you got to understand this. Peter was feeling pretty big about himself. Shall I forgive him seven times, Lord? You folks who are coming on Wednesday nights for a Bible study, you remember what the number seven means. It's the number of completion or perfection. The Old Testament, according to Amos 1:4, you're required to forgive someone three times. Okay? So Peter, in an effort to put on a good front for the Lord, said, three times. I'm going to double it. And then I'm going to add one. Master, shall I forgive him seven times? Thinking, this fell far short of Christ's expectations. Peter thought he had it sealed seven times, Lord, is that right? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Infinitely. What it means. You mean if somebody does the same thing to me every day and then says he repents, I have to forgive him? I'm saying that's what the Lord said. Christians, we are to be in the forgiveness business. One of the longest parables of Jesus addresses this. In Matthew 18:23 and following. And I'll just summarize it for you. A certain king was taking account of his servants. And a servant was brought to the king that owed him 10,000 talents. That's about $16 million. And the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him from the debt. You owe me $16 million, but I forgive you. You don't owe that now. I wish he was the lending agent that had my mortgage. So this guy who had just been forgiven, he went out and found a guy that owed him 100 pence. It's about $17. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me. And the servant fell down at his feet and said, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. And this servant who had been forgiven of the $16 million debt had compassion on him and forgave him? No. He threw him in the prison till he could pay it all. Unfortunately, that's how most people today forgive. They want to receive forgiveness, but they don't want to give it. And that's not what Jesus said. We see great examples of men throughout Scripture. We go back to Genesis chapter 33. Jacob and Esau, of course, had been estranged for many, many years. And Jacob was certain that Esau was still mad at him for taking his birthright and conning him out of his inheritance. And Esau even divides his camp in two, so if they attack one part of his family, the other part can get away. And in Genesis 33, verse 4 and 5, as as Jacob was approaching, he bowed 7 times to the ground, and Esau, the one who had been defrauded, ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted his eyes up to heaven and saw the woman and the children and said, "Who are these with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." It was forgiven. But John, it didn't say he forgave him. I'm some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb, okay? I can tell. I can infer. If I'm still mad at somebody because they cheated me and I want to choke them to death, I'm not going to hug him and kiss him or her or it or whatever. The implication is they reconciled. There was forgiveness. We see King David, who had had his life threatened a couple times by King Saul. King Saul didn't know it, but David and his men were crouching in the cave at Adullam. And Saul had to go in to cover his feet, the biblical anecdote. He had to go answer nature's call in the cave. And David was right there. King Saul didn't see him. David could have ended his journey of fleeing from the King Saul. He could have killed King Saul right then and there. But he refused to do it. Why? Because he did not want to do it to the Lord's anointed. He had a forgiving spirit. Forgave him. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 60. The men have thrust him out of the city, and they are stoning him with stones. And he said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." Forgive them. And our blessed Lord on the cross in Luke 23:34. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." Forgive them for their ignorance of what they're doing. Sometimes we have to forgive people for their ignorance, because they don't know what's going on. It's easy for us to make judgments, question people's motives. And most of the time we don't know the whole story. And so we have to forgive their ignorance. Know what it means to forgive. Know why to forgive, so you can be forgiven. Have a perpetual attitude of forgiveness. And forgive completely, like our God has forgiven us. You forgive other people the same degree that you want God to forgive you. Bury the hatchet and the handle. Have you had forgiveness of your sins through the blood of Christ? If you've not been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, then you have not, despite what anybody has told you. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." If you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you will repent, turn from your sins, and confess His name, I will assist you in your immersion, or if you want somebody else to do it, that's fine. God does the work of forgiving. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. If you are a Christian, but you've gone back into the world, you've done things you know you shouldn't do, you need the Lord's forgiveness. If you've done it in a public fashion, I would recommend repenting of it in a public fashion, and we will take care of it. But don't leave here today if you've not had your sins forgiven. We love you. We want you to go to heaven. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, take a seat on the front row, would you please, right now, as we stand together and sing.